It's Marketplace Tech Report from American Public Media for Wednesday, November 10th, 2010. I'm John Moe. Dawn Marie Souza worked as an EMT at American Medical Response of Connecticut. She didn't like her boss, so she ripped him on Facebook, used cuss words, called him a 17, which is the company term for a psychiatric patient. She was fired. The company says it was for a lot of reasons, but the Facebook thing was part of it. Now, Souza's case has been taken up by the National Labor Relations Board. They say venting on Facebook is the same as office chatter at the water cooler. Raymond Koo is at Case Western University School of Law. He's the co-director of their cyberspace law and policy office. Raymond, does the law say Facebook is a water cooler or a blog?
It's all of those things. So that's the difficulty that courts are going to have to confront, which is, how is it being used? What the NLRB is saying in this case is that if you look at how it was being used, the fact that it was communications with coworkers and coworkers responded, that it's still, yes, just the local office discussion.
How does it overlap with just having the right to say what you want in public?
Well, and I think this is the broader question that this case won't address, because the problem, at least from the law's perspective, is you don't have a free speech right to criticize, especially a private employer. The First Amendment only applies against the government. And even the NLRB rulings are essentially just being critical of your employer isn't necessarily protected conduct. Right? It really is. The NLRB's jurisdiction essentially stems from the idea that you have the right to organize and act collectively regarding your employment. And so if this was just a blog, for example, that you raised earlier, it would be treated very differently.
That's Raymond Koo. Facebook makes us question what it is to be in public. Judith Doneth is founder of the Sociable Media Group at MIT Media Lab and a fellow at Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society. She talks about this idea of an invisible wall of privacy. People can see you even if you don't see them.
If you sit in a traffic jam and watch someone, you know, adjusting their underwear or something, they've forgotten that they are actually in a public space where they're visible because they have a bubble that they think of as private around them. And it's much more insidious online where you really cannot see that audience. It's not just that you forgot and were unaware, but they're completely invisible to you.
So when we look at the case of Dawn Marie Souza in Connecticut, do you think in the future we'll have more people like her sharing that information about their bosses, or more cases of people saying, hey, my boss can see everything I'm doing whenever I'm on social media, I'm just going to put a sock in it?
I think the big issue here is in what are the private spaces where we can have this conversation. One direction is to say, do we have a future in 20 years where people just assume that if you write something in plain text, it's public, and that any private conversation needs to be cryptographically encoded? Another is you could have a networking site that made it easy to have messages that expire permanently and are just expunged from the system. So I think a lot of it will depend on how much privacy people demand for their everyday social but mediated conversations.
Of course, the best thing you can do, don't slam your boss on Facebook. Other stories we're following at marketplacetech.org. Google has added a new search feature. Google Instant Preview lets you click on a little magnifying glass next to each result and see a preview of a page before you go to it. And a new Department of Commerce report says nearly one in four American households don't use the internet at all. Most popular reason? Just not interested. And finally, rock and roll is dead because Bon Jovi killed it. When I was 15, I paid $3 to catch a pair of up-and-coming bands at the Paramount Theater in Seattle. I was there to see Rat, but I had to sit through Bon Jovi. They were okay. Rat rocked harder. Bon Jovi had more longevity. They adapted as musicians and brand managers, going from hair metal to arena rock to soulful balladeers, getting their music everywhere in the process. But yesterday, Bon Jovi announced they'll distribute music through the Facebook games Happy Aquarium, Happy Island, and It Girl. So you can take care of your pretend fish, download Livin' on a Prayer, and buy Bon Jovi-themed upgrades in the game. And I'm sorry, there's simply no way rock survives that. This is Marketplace Tech Report. I'm John Moe.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.